minister.
Well, that was, speaking of earlier, good food, and I know what can happen when you eat good food, and then you sit in a comfortable chair, and but this song here really goes well with what we're going to be looking at tonight. Let me just read through these words once again. Just listen as I read through these words. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise, unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but naught changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee. What a tremendous, if you will, meditation on who God is. We have a man in our church who was converted 4 years ago from a very bad background, and he went to a bookstore and picked up, if you're familiar with Stephen Charnock's, The Attributes of God. And it's so yay thick, small writing, and he's about to finish it. But you just think about one man's writing upon God, and you know, he probably hasn't scratched the surface of meditations on God. And what we're going to look at tonight is, again, probably something that we're familiar with, we've heard. But what's really been impressed upon my mind here over the last number of months in particular is our need for meditation. Meditation on the Word of God. And that's where we really take in what God has for us. It's so easy nowadays, isn't it, to just read through, do your Bible reading, go on with life. There's so much to do. I asked Jeff earlier, how are things going? And he said, I'm busy. And I can relate to that. And most of us can. And yet, it's this meditation, and I'll talk about that a little bit here briefly. But what a tremendous song to lead us into this next message. So let's once again pray and ask God to use His Word in our hearts and give us ears to hear and keep us alert. Holy Father, there is none like You, the awesome, the almighty, the all-worthy God. You alone are God, and we are privileged to call You our Father. Yes. Lord, we come tonight in much need. Lord, all around us there is error. There's misunderstanding. Lord, there's an opposition to who You are. We see it in our government officials, and Lord, we see it in those around us that we work with, and Lord, just a disregard for who You are. And tonight, as we consider Your church, would You give us a real understanding a real love for that which is important and which ought to be our purpose in serving you in the church. Lord, we need your Spirit once again. We beg of you to enlighten us by your word and just fill us with a passion for what's important for to you, Lord. Please hear our prayer for your glory. We ask it in the name of our wonderful Savior. Amen. Amen. Something is missing. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe you were writing a letter and you're trying to get just the right words out, and you write it, and maybe you type it, and you think this, you know, you read through it, and it's just not the way it ought to be. You ever feel like that? There's just something missing. Well, words seem to fail you at a time like that. Such was the thinking of A.W. Tozier, who wrote these words some 50 plus years ago when he was considering the understanding of God in Christendom. And you understand how I use that word. I use it in a very general, broad sense. Here's what he said. It is my opinion that the Christian conception of God, current in these middle years of the 20th century, is so decadent as to be utterly beneath the dignity of the Most High God, and actually to constitute for professed believers something amounting to a moral calamity.
Amen.
The heaviest obligation lying upon the Christian church today is to purify and elevate her concept of God until it is once more worthy of him and of her. That is the church. In all her prayers and labors, this should have the first place. We do the greatest service to the next generation of Christians by passing on to them, undimmed and undiminished, that noble concept of God which we receive from our Hebrew and Christian fathers of generations past. And that's why that song was so fitting, because it portrays God as the scripture portrays God, high above all and worthy of all that we can give to him. And so tonight we're going to talk about the church and its goal, a returning. And I say a returning because we need to keep always before us. We need to always come back to the purpose, to be reminded of the purpose. Why does the church exist? There's a lot of misunderstandings today about why churches exist. And if we're going to arrive at our destination, we've got to know where we're going. We have to understand where should we be arriving at as far as God's plan for the church. Many churches have become sidetracked, have they not? As far as what their purpose is, what they're shooting for, what they're aiming for. And they might hit what they're aiming for, but it isn't what God's aiming for. And so there's a lot of different things that churches shoot for. What are some of those things? What do you see as you consider the landscape today? What are some things that other places that call themselves the churches of Christ, what do you notice?
Just counting heads.
Counting heads.
There for the purpose of entertainment.
Entertainment.
Trying to please. Networking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we might even throw in a few good things, if you will.
Fellowship.
We might even throw ministry to help people, right? To give food to people, which is a good thing, is it not? But if that becomes the thing, it's the wrong thing as far as the purpose for which the church exists. Growing bigger is certainly not the purpose that the scripture says. Evangelism. Oops. Is that the main purpose? We're going to look tonight at what I believe ought to be the main purpose of the church. And it's really very simple, if you will. It's really very clear. There's some things that we're going to talk about. How is it lived out after the application? But I just want to really just go through a perusing of the scripture, just a scanning of just a number of verses, just to get in our head how often we see this concept, okay? The purpose can be summed up in these words. And you all would know it when I say, you think, well, that's not anything new. To glorify God in all that it does.
Amen.
That's the purpose of the church. That's why the church exists. To glorify God in all that it does. Now, who did I say was the church? Us. So, therefore, we then not only have the purpose for the church together, but we have the purpose for the church individually. We have our purpose. Our purpose in this life is singular, to glorify God in everything that we do. Now, the application is many-fold, if you will. It's got many aspects. For children, what would you say is a way a child, and I'll say a child who knows God, who believes in Jesus, what is a way a child in particular could glorify God? What do you think? Can you think of what the Bible says about children?
Their mother and your father.
What's that?
Honor your mother.
Honor your mother and your father. That's exactly right. So for a child who knows God, honoring your mother and father is the way you glorify God. What about adults? What comes to mind? What would be a practical way that we would honor and glorify God?
Loving one another.
Loving one another, exactly. And so we're going to look at some of these applications, but let's just take a few minutes to go through and look at some scripture. Actually, you're welcome to turn there. I'll give you the reference. It might be easier if you're taking notes and you want to write them down, but I'm just going to read these verses, okay? We're not going to read the whole passage surrounding it. It would take too long. There's so many verses on the glory of God. But to give God his rightful glory as the almighty, all-wise, all-knowing, all-holy, all-loving God that he is. And a returning to that comprehension of the awesome glory of God is what the church in our land desperately needs. Just like Tozier said, to elevate our concept of God back to what is worthy of him and of her. As he says, the heaviest obligation lying upon the Christian church today is to purify and elevate her concept of God until it is once more worthy of him and of her. In all our prayers and labors, this should have first place. So we're going to look at these scriptures. We're going to make some application. And then I want us to pray to that end. At the end, we'll pray. Just go around like we did earlier and pray to the end that we might really be gripped with this purpose, this calling that the church has been given. And so let me just read these passages of scripture and we'll just take a moment to think on each of them as I read them. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You just think about that. The heavens declare the glory of God. And I was convicted as I was thinking on this a couple weeks ago. I was outside and I was thinking on this. It also says in the scripture, the heavens declare his righteousness. Mm-hmm. And when you think of the word declare, what comes to mind?
To speak.
To speak. To declare it. It's to speak with authority, right? You declare it. The heavens declare the glory of God. And how often do we just walk outside and not hear anything? Right? We don't hear it. The heavens declare it. So much so that all men are without excuse, right? Psalm 104, verse 31. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. It will endure forever because this is who God is. The glory of God, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. Psalm 113, verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. The Lord is above all nations, and his glory is above the heavens. Again, we see the glory of God is magnificent. It's high. It's really beyond our comprehension, right? To try and take in the glory of God. Like I said, my friend's reading this book to try and grasp who really is God. And he comes with some great thoughts to share in our meetings. Psalm 72, verse 19. And blessed be his glorious name. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. His glorious name. Just the name of God is glorious. And the earth is to be filled with his glory. I think about this verse when the announcement of Christ was made by the angels. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So this great announcement of the coming of Christ, and what do the angels say? Glory to God in the highest. Give glory to God because he's worthy. And then, of course, we read this verse in Romans 3:23. You all know it. Let's say it together. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there we see the desperate need of mankind, right? This glory of God that is so wonderful, it's so high, it's above everything, it's the very purpose for which we exist, to glorify God. And then we read, all have sinned and come short. That we all miss the mark, we all fail, we all fall short when it comes to doing what we've been given to do, to glorify God. But thankfully, because of Christ and his sacrifice, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, without Christ, without his sacrifice, we stay in Romans 3:23. We can't ever glorify God. But because of his sacrifice, we now have, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to do that for which we have been created, to glorify God. And so this is the focus. This is the focus of individual believers. It's the focus of the church. When we think of the body of believers, we're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Why? Because they're God's. They're God's. And then, of course, maybe another verse we're all familiar with, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether, therefore, ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That just sums it up, right? This sums it up. How do you eat to the glory of God? Let me ask that question. How do you eat to the glory of God? Giving thanks.
Moderation.
While you partake, you know where it all came from.
Yeah. So everything we do, even the basics of eating and drinking, it doesn't matter what we do, it's all to be done for this one purpose, the glory of God. You see, everything else, and we're going to look at some good things, but they're all secondary to this. There's things we need to be doing as the church and as individual Christians when we're alone. But they're all under this, if you will, the umbrella of the glory of God. And if we get sidetracked on one, we miss the big picture. Revelation 1:6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Amen.
You see, this is what it's all about. He's made us kings and priests unto God. To him be glory and dominion forever. Revelation 4:9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And you know what they say? Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You see, if you read through the book of Revelation, you just see this again. Glory and honor and blessing and power and honor be unto God. 5:12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And then we come to chapter 7, verse 12, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. This is the song of heaven. This is the song of eternity. Glory be to God. And then this passage in Revelation, which really makes it clear, the angel saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. You know what that angel was preaching? Anyone know?
The everlasting gospel.
The everlasting gospel. And here's what he says. Fear God and give glory to him.
Amen.
For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Because when you fear God, when you worship God, you know what you're doing? You're giving glory to God. You're recognizing the awesome majesty of God. Revelation 18:1, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. In 19:1, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. 21:11, speaking of, I believe, the church having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And then Revelation 21:23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So the glory of God from cover to cover we see in the scripture, from beginning to end, the glory of God is the purpose of the church. And that's why I called it the returning, the church and its goal, a returning, because there needs to be a returning back in our land to see who God is, right? To understand who God really is. And in our own lives, you know what? If you know God today, praise God for that, right? And if you understand to some degree how great God is, praise God for that. But there's not one of us here that can say, I fully take in the glory of God. I fully comprehend how deep and how awesome and how majestic God is. So this applies to every one of us. This is as practical as we can get. We've seen the commands. You and I are bought with a price. We're to glorify God in our body and our spirit because they're God's. And 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So it's clear what the purpose is. The purpose of the church is to glorify God. This is the main purpose of the church. It's the main purpose of every believer. Now, how do we live it out? Right? Because that's what we've got to get to. It's one thing to walk around and say, oh, I believe we've got to glorify God, but then not live it out. That's why I said I want us to grow in our understanding, but we also have to grow in our action, in our living out what we learn. So, very simply, if you will, the application I brought 4 points. I know we could bring many more. But these four have been on my mind when I think about this. How do we glorify God in the church? Now, this is very, very dear to me, this idea of the purpose of the church. We recently had a young man who was in our congregation, or actually in one of the other congregations, a fine young man who came to know the Lord maybe a couple years ago, year and a half, 2 years ago. And he met one of the men in our one of the other congregations in the church, met him at a coffee shop. Actually, this one of the men from our church was in this coffee shop, and this guy came in and he saw him reading the Bible. This new guy saw the man in the church reading the Bible, and anyway, they struck up a conversation, and the man in our church began to, you know, talk to this guy, and this young guy began to really inquire about the church, and finally came, and he joined with us about a year, a little over a year ago. And just zealous for the Lord, which is great. Zealous for Christ. Really was encouraged by him. An evangelistic spirit, just going out and trying to get the word out. It was really exciting to see. But there was a problem. And the problem came when he lost sight of the big picture of what the purpose of the church is. And actually, this is very interesting that that's been on my mind, because we recently had a young man come to our congregation, what was it, 2 weeks ago, week ago, 1 or 2 weeks ago. Very zealous for the Lord. He moved from another state to be here because he felt like he was in a situation where he needed to get out of a wrong thinking about another person. And so he felt like it would be best to not have lustful thoughts, to move. That's good. To really take action to get away from what you realize can be a temptation. And it's exciting to see the zeal that he has, but I'm a little concerned. Because he has one of the focuses has become the main focus. One of the applications, I should say, has become the main focus. Evangelism is important, but evangelism is not the main focus. The main purpose of the church is the glory of God. And the application I want to make is fourfold. First of all, demonstrating love. Secondly, bringing fruits forth from salvation. Third, taking the gospel to the lost. And then fourth, praising and worshiping God through meditation. Recognizing, in other words, who He is. But you see, if we focus on one and we lose sight of the others, we've missed the main goal. That's why I say a restoring or a returning to the main purpose. Glorifying God. How do we do that? Well, we do that, as you mentioned, by demonstrating love. By loving one another, we are glorifying God. But we can't let loving one another within the church become the only focus, can we? What if we love one another all the time and so much so to the exclusion of the lost? Are we glorifying God as a church? No. But we've got to start here. We've got to start with the love to the church, to one another. Think about Revelation 2. Remember the church at Ephesus. Amen. And he commends them. He commends them for their patience and their works, and they're against the false doctrine. But what was it that they had left? Their first love. They left their first love. And without love, what are we? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Again, this isn't new. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You see, no love for people, no love for God. It just works that way. You see, according to the scripture, the royal law, according to the scripture, is to love. The perfect law of liberty is to love. The fulfillment of the law is to love. The demonstration of our love to God is our love to one another. And here's something that I realized through that experience in our church with this young man as we pleaded with him to stay. I don't remember where I left off in the story, but he ended up leaving our church because he wanted to be more evangelistic. He felt like our church wasn't as evangelistic as it should be. I encouraged him that yes, evangelism is important, but it's one of the ways that we glorify God.
Amen.
And we don't get so consumed with it that we neglect all of these other things. And that's exactly what happened with this young man. He would tell you, I don't really love the people here. I mean, he'd say that. And we'd say, that's the whole thing we're trying to tell you, is that you've got to love. The evangelism is important, and we believe in evangelism. We just sent two of our men, one of our pastors, and then this man that I told you is going to Ethiopia to get married. He lives here in the United States, but they go on mission trips, and they just spent about 3 weeks over in Ethiopia, ministering to pastors and preaching the Word of God. And we've got things like that going on. We've got a missions trip coming up in January where three or four of our people are going down to Mexico for a week. We've got ministries in nursing homes, in prisons, and different things like this that are going on. But that's not the main focus. The main focus is the glory of God. And so, if we don't love, we're not accomplishing the purpose. And you know what I realize? Here's the point. What I realize is it's easier to just go out and hand out Bibles and hand out tracts and things than is it actually to love one another, isn't it? It can be easier to do that than to do this, can't it? Because when you love, what really is behind love? One word.
Humility.
I'm thinking of John 3:16.
Giving.
Sacrifice. Giving. You see? And it's easy to go out and, hey, here, let me tell you about this and give. But you know, when you're with people and you interact with them all the time, that's where it's a little bit harder, isn't it? Because then you get to know people and you know their faults and you know their hang-ups and different things like this. And so this is where we've got to love one another if we're going to accomplish the purpose. Secondly, bringing fruits of obedience. Turn over to Philippians chapter 1, Amen. Verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 1. This is Paul's prayer for the church at Philippi. He says in verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." So there we see the love, right? Love. This is his longing. And you'll see oftentimes in the churches, he commends them for their love, but he says, I want to see it growing more and more and more. Verse 10, "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." You see, bringing forth fruits of righteousness, that's the action, that's the life. We have the righteousness of Christ, but now we're to go out and live out that righteousness by our actions. That's what glorifies God. He says it right here. "Which are by Jesus Christ unto, for the purpose of, the glory and praise of God." So how we live our lives day by day is how we bring glory to God. And how we when we come together, how we conduct ourselves is how we bring glory to God. So it's not just loving. It's how we live throughout the week, everything that we do, bringing forth fruit of obedience. Moving on, taking the gospel to the lost. Of course, we're all familiar with the Great Commission, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Church of God, apart from the person of Christ, is a useless structure. However ornate it may be in its organization, however perfect in all its arrangements, however rich and increased with goods, if the church is not revealing the person, lifting him to the height where all men can see him, then the church becomes an impertinence and a sham, a blasphemy and a fraud, and the sooner the world is rid of it, the better, said G. Campbell Morgan. In other words, if we're not showing forth Jesus Christ to others, then we're failing in our accomplishing bringing glory to God. This is what we are to do. We are to be his hands and feet, if you will. We're to be his mouthpiece. We're to be the ones who speak forth his word to people to make Christ known. This is how we glorify God. This is how we lift God up and make people know who he is when we tell them about him. When we make him known, so taking the gospel to the lost is how we glorify God. And the fourth message will be devoted to that very topic. So loving, bringing fruits of obedience, taking the gospel, and then here's one I think that's oftentimes neglected in our busy day, praising and worshiping God through meditation. And this verse that I'm about to quote has really been on my mind lately, and it's just been a real blessing. You all know it. Be still and know that I am God. It's easy to get caught up in the rat race, as we say, right? It's easy to get caught up in the busyness of the world and just squeeze some time in the morning maybe for God and his word and then go about our activity and not really get alone with the Lord. What would you say is the hindrance to what I'm talking about here? What are the hindrances? I just mentioned one, busyness, but there's others. Can you think of any hindrances to being still and just meditating, just thinking on God? What are some of the hindrances?
Anxiety and fear.
Anxiety and fear. Can you just elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, the way things are going within our nation, you know, is it possible for me to lose my job? Is it possible for me to lose my home? Will I lose my investments? What do I do if I go homeless? These are real issues today.
Right. And what they do is they sidetrack the mind, right?
To focus on my
The focus, yeah. From just being still and getting alone with God and meditating on him. Those are precious times. Those are wonderful. And you just, I like to go out in the morning on our back deck where it's quiet. I like to go out when it's dark, so I like the time change. And just get alone with God and just look up and see the stars and just see his creation and just know that he is God. What are some other distractions, things that keep us from this?
Legal family obligations.
What's that?
Legal family obligations.
Family obligations. There's just so many things that are pressing oftentimes, right? Work schedules and family responsibilities and just, you know, there's just, we could list a lot of them. But it's absolutely essential if we're going to glorify God that we get alone with him and give him his rightful place in our minds and our understanding and in our praise and in our worship. Anything else that comes to mind in that area? What about this one? Lack of discipline. It's not easy, is it? It's not easy at times because it really does take a focused mind. It takes a focused thinking to just keep the thoughts focused on God. You ever pray? And next thing you know, oh, I gotta do this. And then I think, oh, if I don't write that down right now, I know I'm going to forget, and I can't forget that. Well, I'll just get up to write this down, and then next thing, oh, that's right. Yeah, I better do this. Discipline. Just the discipline to say, I'm going to spend this time with God. I'm just going to glorify Him. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to worship Him. This is what needs to be going on. Meditation is the clear instruction of Scripture. And you know, it's really been interesting because, as I've mentioned with my children in this Bible Bee, and they're memorizing a lot of verses, hundreds and hundreds of verses. And I've really tried to stress to them this year, it's not about the memorization. It's about the meditation. Because you can memorize a verse. I had to memorize a lot of verses for Bible college. And I could do it. I can't anymore as easily. Not because I'm too old, but because I haven't been in the habit like I should. As my wife and I have been discussing meditation recently, we'll hear people say, and I'm sure no one here would say it, I'm too old to memorize. I've got my answer for that. You're not commanded to memorize, but you are commanded to meditate. Are you too old to obey God's command? You see, none of us are too old to meditate on the Scripture. We can all do it, and we need to be, because this is how we get alone with God, and we just think on His glory and His majesty and give Him His rightful place. Are you doing that? Are you giving yourself in love to other people? Love is not easy. You think it was easy for Jesus to leave the glories of heaven and come to this earth and suffer all that He did and hang upon a cross? Only by the grace of God, right? Only by the empowering of the Spirit could He even do it. We've got to love one another. We have got to give careful diligence to obedience, to bringing forth the fruits of righteousness. Because John 15 tells us, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Very plain. You want to glorify the Father? Bear much fruit. Bear much fruit. You can take that one of two ways, the fruits of the Spirit. You think God is glorified when your life is one of love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? You think God is glorified when your life is lived like that? Absolutely. Taking the gospel to the lost. That's a challenge. Think about your community here, right? How easy is that? It's not. And it's got to start in our workplaces, in our interaction with people as we're out and about. Being prepared. And you know, I've really been convicted about this because just talking with some different people recently in our church, and one lady in particular that we have in our congregation, her husband is not a believer. She comes, but he does not. But she is the picture of getting out of herself and trying to get the gospel. And she goes to the nursing homes, and she just goes from room to room and just takes the gospel to people, and just goes over to her neighbor and just says, hey, can I, you know, her neighbor's elderly, and she just, you know, can I go do your grocery shopping for you? And then she'll come back and she'll put in a gospel booklet or something like that and talk with her. Those little things, are we doing those little things that are getting the gospel out? It's so easy just to go along, isn't it? And again, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. This is the task of the church. You read the verse earlier. Let me read it again. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This is where He's glorified, in the church. Not outside of the church, not through ministries and things that are done outside of the church. It's through the church.
Amen.
And so this is God's method of carrying forth His work. One man says, the church is primarily a body of people who profess and give evidence that they have been saved by God's grace alone, for His glory alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. This is what a New Testament church is. It's not a building. The early Christians didn't have buildings for almost 300 years after the church began. The collection of people committed to Christ in a local church or in a local area constitute a church.
Amen.
And so it's for the glory of God alone. That's why we're here. That's why you guys all gather when you do. That's why you live your lives. It's for the glory of God. And that's got to be the main focus. We can't let one of the important things become the main focus. And so this is the purpose we need to have. The glory of God. Everything for the glory of God. And this is why we need to encourage one another daily. Because, you know what? Hard things can come in a particular day, and we can get sidetracked, can't we? And that's why it's good to just call someone up and write them an email and get together when you can and say, hey, just wanted to encourage you in glorifying God. Here's something I've been doing. Here's something I've been learning. Can we do more of that? I'll bet we can. I bet we all can. So let's take some time now and just pray and ask God to give us really a heart to glorify Him in these different ways. And tomorrow we're going to be looking at, as I mentioned, the responsibility, and then we'll get more into how it is practically that we're doing this within the church, and then we'll also look at outside of the church. But let's just once again pray and ask God to give us this as our real purpose and heart.
Father, we just thank you for these simple words of exhortation. Simple, but yet they're so profound. Things that we truly know, things that we've heard before, things that we may have read about. Father, create within us, within each and every living heart that is here tonight, saved and purchased by your precious Son's blood. Father, give us also as a congregation the burden to honor you and to glorify you in all that we do. Father, help us not to get sidetracked and to simply throw our attention just in one aspect, for there are many, many things that we can do that have been shown to us from the scriptures tonight. Father, help us to give you your rightful honor and your rightful due in this body of saints who have committed themselves to be a candlestick for you. Father, forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us, Lord, for not being disciplined. Forgive us, Father, at times for making excuses. Forgive us for even taking those things that are legal, things that we ought to do, and we bring those to the forefront, and then you must take a back seat. Father, help us not to be so busy for you that we have no time for you. So, Father, I pray that the principles and the concepts and the verses that have been given to us will not soon fade from our hearts once our dear vessel of God leaves us. Father, I ask you that you would just cause these things to resonate within our hearts and minds, that we may show the world that we are truly your disciples. In Christ's name, amen.
Gracious and Heavenly Father, Lord, it is very easy to get distracted. Lord, I pray that you will simply help us to discipline ourselves. Lord, help us to focus, to meditate on you and on your word.
Yes.
And help us, Lord, to do it for your glory alone. In Christ's name.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of exhortation from Pastor Dan this evening. And Father, I agree that we need to be still and know that you are God. Father, do cause us to stop and meditate on the attributes of who you truly are. We thank you, Father, for this time together in thy word. Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Our God and our Father, we do love you and we do want to serve you. We do want to honor and glorify your name. We do want to honor your Son, the Lord Jesus, in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you continue to work within us to will and to do your good pleasure. Thank you, Lord, for your servant that's come to share these words with us tonight. We pray that you continue to minister in his life and to his family and to his church, that they too would be thy servants and would do your will. Continue to watch over and care for us all, Lord. Help us to love and serve you better. In Jesus' name, we ask.
Father, all glory to your name is worthy. You are deserving of every praise and worship that we can give to you. Lord, thank you for the church. Thank you for your patience with us, with your people throughout the ages. Lord, your word is so clear. Cause us to really see it plainly, to encourage others to see it. But Lord, we live to glorify you. Lord, I thank you for these people, for this church, and for their desire to honor you. Lord, would you bless them with much encouragement in their labor here? Lord, would you really, as has been prayed, Lord, we want to see revival in the land. We want to see people in this community brought to Christ and the church built up. Because we want to see many give glory to your name. So Lord, do a great work here. Continue to bless them with just the steadfastness in what you've called them to do. It's so refreshing to see the same people here, faithful, committed, and just going on for your glory. So Lord, continue to bless them, but also bless them with converts and people who are interested and excited about your word and about glorifying you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And Lord, our hearts are just longing for the coming of Christ. Lord, we know that that day will be a glorious day and we want to be ready. So may we live for your glory. May we do everything for your glory. May your Holy Spirit remind us of this throughout each day. We love you and thank you. Amen.
Let's stand. And before we leave, turn to hymn number 29.
We'll just sing the first and the last stanza before we are dismissed. Be here tomorrow. Get a good night's rest.
29?
Hymn number 29, sweetheart. You get a good night's rest, and by the grace of God, we'll be here tomorrow at 10. And let us come to worship the Lord and to give reverence to his name and his word. Give to our God immortal praise. Mercy and truth are all his ways. Wonders of grace to God belong. Repeat his mercies in your song. Through this vast world he guides our feet and leads us to his heavenly seat. His mercies ever shall endure when this